We have everything we need.
Thank you.
But there is a real issue, and that is that a lot of those big companies will buy up these new initiatives.
Yes.
And then they sit on them.
Yes.
And they're suppressed. So you've got a huge issue there. And the other thing is, a lot of scientific things are developed through military throughout the world. A lot of developments have come through war, probably right from starting with the wheel, you know.
First aid, too.
Yeah. So if you look at it from that perspective, there's technology. I mean, there's interesting and really seriously dangerous microwave technology going on in the world at the moment. Now, instead of for good use, I'm thinking that this is coming in for bad use because there's dubious reasons for 5G. And then, of course, you have HAARP technology, which has been subsumed by microwave weather wars. I mean, imagine, why would a scientist put their time and energy into something that's going to kill masses of people? What sort of person is out there like that? Anyway, the fact of the matter is that we have a lot of technology that's not generally accepted by the general public or talked about in the mainstream media that is there, and it's doing things that are not okay.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I am Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. In the studio this morning, I have Lisa Eyre, fellow host on Green Planet FM, and she's here to be able to talk things through because there's so much happening in the world today. And I just want to say kia ora and thank you for leaving so many other duties, Lisa, to be here with me.
Kia ora, Tim. Well, my fish, I think, will forgive you if I haven't cleaned them out this morning, which would have been one of my duties.
You mean your aquarium?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know. When we've got pets, it's a huge responsibility because these critters, even if you could call fish a critter, they're here learning what it is to be like a fish in this lifetime. They're specks of consciousness as well, and they're evolving through life, and we trust that they will evolve onto greater forms after this life has finished.
Who knows? Somewhere in the fish consciousness.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now, Lisa, a couple of days ago, I came across a guy who was walking along. He was coughing. He had a hacking cough. And I said, what's going on, Neil? And he said, oh, I'm really not feeling too well. I've never had a cold before or the flu. And I said, oh, well, have you taken anything for it? He said, oh, well, you know, all sorts of little medicines. I said, well, one thing that I do is I get 3 cloves of garlic. And I chop them all up, nice and small. And they say you have to leave them for maybe about 10 minutes for them to oxidize. And then I put them into a dessert spoon, and then I get a glass of water, and then I put the dessert spoon full of garlic into my mouth, and then I wash it down instantly with that water, but I might swirl it around my mouth to allow my saliva to get on the garlic, and then I just wash it down with a glass of water, and all of a sudden, I leave it to my inner world to take care of all this. Do you have anything like that that you want to share with people who...
Well, I'd probably avoid getting too close to you for 24 hours after you've done that.
That's why I'm single.
Not really, no. I have little mantras, I say, and I take quite a few supplements. I mean, huge quantities of vitamin C is my answer to most things.
I do. I have vitamin C sitting in my fridge too, in tablets. You have them in liquid form, don't you?
I have some liquid form. There's a New Zealand company making them.
Yes.
And I also have the liposomal ones from, oh, what's his name, Dr. somebody or other.
Oh, I'm glad that he's...
That I get them from America.
I'm glad that he's a doctor. Not Joseph Mercola.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
Very good.
Well, I mean, anybody can be a doctor in the US, can't they?
That's right. Yes. Well, something like about 68,000 people come out of America with a PhD every year.
Yes.
And look at where America is at the moment. And sadly, they've been coming out year after year, tens of thousands of them, and still we haven't been able to bring the American people together as a unified, happy country.
Well, that's because it's head knowledge, not heart knowledge.
Thank you. Very good. This is true. And I just want to drop in another. Sore throat. Sometimes I may wake up and I feel in the middle of the night a little tickle in my throat. And I instantly know to get out of bed and go to my fridge where I've got Merck Sol. These are cell salts. And I take them in little tablets, or you can take them as a liquid. And I put 3 drops on my tongue. And I wake up every morning and everything is just fine. Merck Sol. Mercury and Sol, which is sun. So to remember, everyone, the closest planet to the sun is Mercury. It's the planet of communication, hence the throat. So if you can go Merck Sol and remember that, you can go down to most pharmacies and get that, because I'll tell you what, once you've got a bad throat, there's a very good chance that it'll lead into not only a cough, cold, but it might even lead to the flu. So if you want to get in smart, when I was flying over here in New Zealand, I always carried this, and never once did I go sick whilst away with the 17 years that I was with Air New Zealand as crew, because I was self-medicating, for want of a better word.
Yes, but you weren't taking mercury in the same way as mercury gets into the body through vaccinations. It's cell salt is a different way of taking something.
Thank you for refining that point, Lisa, because, yeah, cell salts, there's 12 major cell salts, which is the breakdown of salt. Dr. Schussler, a German, very important to just know of this knowledge. Yeah, so we've got to take care of our body temple, have we not?
Well, we can't be activists, as you and I are, if we are not well. So it's really important. It's like in an aeroplane, Tim, and you were the steward, you put your oxygen mask on you first and then look after the other people.
Yes, very important. If we don't take care of our vehicle, then how can we be of service?
Yes.
World service. Well, Lisa, as we all know, I am coming across more and more people who are turning off the world news at 6 o'clock at night on TV. They're not wanting to have their children see what's going on TV at the moment because they're being traumatized. Unfortunately, there hasn't been any, should we say, major conflagrations like we saw the horrors Syria not so long ago, and then before that there's always been Afghanistan, and there's been what's happening in other theatres of the world. And I'm glad to hear that, but essentially it's a very difficult thing to get good news. And I know that you always had, as a backup, you had RT, and you used to watch RT, which is RussiaToday.com, and you get a good lot of news there. I check out RT every day.
Yes, I check out Al Jazeera as well.
Okay.
I mean, I know some people say, oh, they've been bought out. But actually, there's reasonably balanced reporting on there. But I think this thing of protecting children, particularly very little ones, but from about age 9, I think they can start to participate and know what's going on. Because they will anyway, in one way or another, you know? And I find that it's important that we as adults know what's going on. And, I mean, RT is great, unless you want to know about Russia. And then they're covering up. It's a bit like watching CNN. If you want to know anything bad that the Americans are doing, you won't find it on CNN. So that's the sort of way that we have to kind of balance. We have to search for good news. I mean, I don't just mean good news, but for news that is reliable. And then if you go to the alternative sites, are they reliable? Because some of them are over the top. I mean, they shut down Alex Jones, didn't they? But on the other hand, he was over the top in some areas, and some areas he was good.
Yes, I didn't like his voice.
No, aggressive.
Very, yes. But you're true. I do actually go on to ZeroHedge.com.
Yes.
Because sometimes there's some excellent graphs of what's happening in the world, and countries are graded on all things that are happening there. And so I do that, and I also will go to The Guardian, and I find that The Guardian are really anti-Russia, where 20 years ago, for the last 60 years prior to that, they were never anti-Russia. They saw Russia for what it was, or more so the Soviet Union. But now The Guardian has gone into America. They've got quite anti-Russia to cater for the American readers and followers.
Yes. Well, The Guardian, of course, let Julian Assange down drastically.
Yeah.
So I'm always aware of that. But there's certain things that it's perfectly okay to accept their information from. So I always check it every day.
Yes, their ecology is actually very good.
Yes, I enjoy particularly that.
That's right, yes.
And they're talking a lot about the bees.
Well, boy, this is a real big one.
It's huge, you know.
As an ex-beekeeper myself, who once upon a time got 42 stings, I know that our bees have got potential both ways. Being able to collect honey and pollen, and we have to make sure that these beings are alive, and we're in a world now that's becoming more and more irradiated from all sorts of frequencies. And so our bees are the canary in the coal mine, are they not?
Our bees are the ones that will go first, and they're already going to some degree. And I was thinking actually on my way in, because I'd had honey in my tea this morning, and then I put on Burt's Bees lipstick, and then in the car I put on Manuka honey hand cream, and I thought, gosh, because I like natural things, I'm so using bee products. And these poor little things out there get lost and can't come home, and they think that this might be from Wi-Fi frequencies that are affecting them. So heaven knows what it's going to be like once we have 5G as well. But I think that the bees will be the ones that will go quickest, and the insects. They and the birds are very vulnerable to what's coming up with 5G. So I think that apart from a few very sensitive people, that's where we're going to see the effects of 5G. So I don't want to get into a major 5G discussion, because you've done a lot of shows on 5G, Tim, but I really want to point out that this is where we're going to see it first. It'll be the insects and the birds that are going to suffer.
Well, what I want to be able to talk during the course of this interview with you is the linkage between other situations, like Monsanto's glyphosate is also linked to insect decline in bees. And so it's not just one particular technology, it is a multiple of everything.
Oh, totally, and that's what's happening to human health too.
That's right. I had Jodie Brunning very recently, and she just said, if you're suffering from a bad stomach, problems in the intestines, you'll find that you might have skin problems as well, and you also can find that you may not sleep properly. And she had a word for it, comorbidity, where you had many different sicknesses or allergies or illnesses converging to cause one particular sickness that doctors have difficulty in diagnosing and understanding.
Well, it's because it isn't one thing.
That's right.
And so it's too hard, really. And if you only treat one thing, then you don't really solve the problem either, which is where it's better to go to homeopathic, because homeopathic treat the person individually, and so that hits a lot of things that might be going wrong. But we don't have enough trained classical homeopaths to help us, because they have been so maligned.
That's right. It's interesting. I was just with one the other day, about 2 days ago, and they're still coming out. It's been trained, and they do a lot of research in the background. Very interesting. So don't forget, research homeopathy, because the royal family have been into it for over 150 years, and look how old all the royal family have got to. It's really important for us to remember this.
I think so. My little granddaughter, highly allergic to dairy, and didn't settle down on any sort of even lactose-free formula or anything like that, or soy. Nothing was going right for her, and she was throwing up all the time. The doctors couldn't do anything. And finally, my daughter-in-law, who was a little bit cynical, agreed to take her to a homeopath. And 2 days later, that was it. No problem.
Well,
so that was instantaneous. So now they're totally sold on homeopathy.
Well, you see, again, it's interesting in my headline here. We have to realize that we're just energy fields, that you and your configuration and me and my configuration, we're energy fields. I am, in many ways, I'm a cellular hologram. This is how I see myself. Cellular, but also a hologram. And at this moment, too, there's neutrinos zipping through us, right through the planet and out the other side, and there's trillions going through us in a matter of seconds. Nothing is solid. Nothing whatsoever. And so by taking these diluted waveforms from homeopathy, it has an effect on our body as well, because it's a waveform. It's a cellular holographic waveform.
Yes, and it's called the magic of the minimum dose, as opposed to giving you heaps of stuff. Yeah, it's really good. I would recommend homeopathy, but you do need a good practitioner. I think self-medicating is not the way to go, unfortunately.
That's right. I agree with you. So here we are today, 7.7 billion of us on this magnificent planet, with a biosphere under assault on so many levels. And yet we're lent a body, we are lent free air, free rainwater, and until recently, a free food chain. What do we do in reciprocity? That's the big question.
Well, the indigenous people would say tend the garden. In other words, look after the planet, because, let's face it, it's looking after us. And I think people forget that. I mean, children are growing up with thinking that beef comes from the supermarket. And in a way, as parents, they probably don't want to say, well, we're killing this cow and you're eating that. I can't do that, but then I can't eat them either. But, yes, there's sort of a complete disconnect. Where do apples come from? The supermarket. Where does milk come from? The supermarket. And we need to reconnect with nature. I mean, that's the whole thing. And a lot of people are beginning to realize that. But if we don't, then basically we're done for.
Well, we've sanitized the narrative, really.
Yes.
And this comes through from big media and also the corporations. And what I like about the indigenous and the Māori really cover this one, they talk about their belly button or their navel and their umbilical cord. That goes back to their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother. They have this connection that goes way back. And it's called whakapapa. That gives them a sense of connection. And all Māori, just about every Māori I talk to, I say, Mother Earth, Papa Tuanuku, oh yes, they have that connection that we European, and I classify a part of myself as European, have lost this connection. Yet, as you said, indigenous races have all this understanding. It's embedded in their being.
Yes, they don't have to go through all the work that I've had to do to get there. Yeah.
So anyway, here we are. We've got an atmosphere that's very fraught with all sorts of things happening in the atmosphere. We have our oceans and our lakes and our rivers under assault on so many levels. And then we have the earth. We've got so much soil being washed off the land, particularly now with housing subdivisions around cities, washing all the soil away, but particularly too with deforestation, say in the case of the tropical regions of the world that rains, where logging has taken place, all this water washes down the river, it washes over all the nurseries or the fishing nurseries or where there's shellfish. And we have got a huge, huge challenge. And my question is, how many leaders have stood up in the last year and made a real song and dance about let's factor in children into every bit of legislation that we can to make sure that they have a future to enjoy?
Well, there's a good reason that nothing has happened in that way, because most politicians are thinking about what's going to make them popular for the next election. And so, you know, in New Zealand, well, we've got a 3-year cycle. So are we going to look at next generations? No, we're not. And the other thing is, there was a really interesting article in the Time magazine which explained how humans don't really understand the future. They don't really feel the future. They feel for themselves in the present moment. But the further out into the future you get, the less empathy they have for themselves. So if we're trying to talk about the next generation, the empathy goes even further. So for people to really understand how it might be for future generations, it actually isn't terribly easy with the human brain. So there again, we've got to go from the heart, because the heart, it's easy. And you can think, oh my goodness, what have we done to this planet? What have we done in the last 40, 50 years And then we're leaving all this mess for the Greta Thunbergs of this world to try and clear up. And there's been a lot about her and saying that this girl's speaking up about climate change. She's only 16. There's people using her. And quite honestly, I don't really think it's people using her. I think she has her own passion. And yes, the media have jumped on this, whereas they didn't jump on Severn Suzuki, the 12-year-old that spoke.
David Suzuki's.
Yes, his daughter, in 1992. She spoke at the UN in a very impassioned way about saving the planet. And everybody said, oh, yes, and isn't she gorgeous, and oh, yes. Well, we'll forget about that now. So what we needed was the media to take this young girl, Greta, and make something of it. And most things she's talking about climate change are very, very relevant, but there's a couple of things she's actually forgotten. And one of those things being the military. And I'm sure that this is why Trump is sticking his head in the sand over climate change, because the US military, the Pentagon, is the single largest institutional consumer of fossil fuels in the world.
So there you go.
There you go. There's the key to what's being left out of the climate argument. So people are saying, those people that are denying climate change, really, I think it's a bit difficult to deny it. But those people that are, and they're saying, oh, but there's agendas. Yes, there's a lot of agendas, a lot of agendas. But they're not necessarily agendas that are about keeping our planet cared for and working so that humans can live on it. They're not those agendas. It's just all about money, in my opinion.
And power. There's power. In
well,
there.
Power comes with money, doesn't it? Yep.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I do notice that when the military jets, all they're wanting the jet is to go from point A to point B as fast as they can.
Yes.
They don't care how much pollution it produces, as long as it can get and take out the enemy. And so, consequently, I've seen so many pictures of tanks and armoured carriers during the years on TV and news, and you see all these exhausts pouring out of them. Just black, horrible soot and smoke. Because they're not wanting to do anything about exhaust. So that just gives you an example of the military mindset, and that doesn't mean what country it comes from. It could come from America, Britain, Russia or China.
And the US military protects big oil and other extractive industries all over the world.
Yes.
You know, if there's mining going on in Africa, you'll find there's a US base there.
Oh, yes. Now, I want to talk about Greta Thunberg, because this is an interesting one from her, because we had a discussion, an email discussion, and I thundered. I said, why didn't she first talk about the trillions going on military? But if she could only have said, yes, but what about Fukushima? It's leaking out into the Pacific. She could have had five topics and say, we can incorporate all this. The plastic in the sea.
Yes, but she's Asperger's. She will be focused on one thing. And that's why it's quite good that she is focused on one thing, because, do you know, it could almost get too big for everybody.
I hear you, but you see, her father is an actor, Svante Thunberg, and her mother is an opera singer, Malena Ehrman, and you would have thought that they would have been able to help coax her to see everything, because what's happened, the climate change, shall we say, narrative has got everybody, they've been told that by 2030, game's over. I say to myself, there's huge problems by 2030. The multiple tipping points are going to be closing in on us. And she's also a vegan. And so I jumped in on this communication. I said, right, okay, she's a vegan. Okay, world, let's go vegetarian first, or let's go meatless Mondays and Fridays, go without meat as well, and slowly, slowly form some sort of strategy to take out some of these big CO2 and methane emitters. At the same time, we've got to have a look at public transport. We've got to have a look at what's going on with free energy. Now, one of the big things, and I'm going to be doing an interview with them very shortly, all going to plan, Foster Gamble of the Thrive movie.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, people, Thrive movie, the trailer, it's only 3 minutes. He talks a lot about all the different technologies that have been put down, the free energy devices. He talks about Nikola Tesla. Tesla could have had his system up and operating and we would have virtually no burnt off fossil fuel on the planet had Tesla been allowed to take part in what he was offering to the world. So what I'm saying is, Lisa, is that we have to actually give free energy these Tauruses, these free energy Taurus donuts that keep perpetually moving. These systems of energy, a chance, we need what you call a public debate and have the top people say, look, we can sort this all out. We can sort this all out. But we are not allowing that side of a debate to come through. And I think this is very important because I have seen some video of small perpetual motion machines working. And then I've discussed it with people and they say, Tim, the big challenge is a question of scale. These little ones, they can work, but we've got to make them up so much bigger that they can drive maybe 100 houses in a particular suburb. This is where the big breakthrough has to come through. The technology is here, but we're not going to get the nuclear power boys or the fossil fuel boys supporting this clean energy. So we don't need to go for windmills all the time and solar energy on roof. And I'll finish now, but do you know how you have a solar collector on the roof, solar panel, photovoltaic cells? It's out there, points towards the sun, the sun's rays hit it, and the structure inside the solar energy system converts that sunlight into energy. Well, what about this one? Neutrinos are passing right through us right this moment. There will be a time when we can have a little black box in every house, and inside that black box is a surface that actually allows the neutrinos to hit it, and then this can drive a new free energy system, because they've found out now that neutrinos have mass, which is really important, because usually they just go straight through and leave nothing. But now they've found out that they can actually do something that has an effect. So I'm saying that this is where we need to be having the discussion about. Virtually no scientists or universities are looking at this at all. When we talk about the future and we plant a vision for the future, we can go through it. Just like John F. Kennedy when he said, we're going to the moon. And so they went to the moon and they didn't have any equipment to get them there. But what it did is that they brought all these different people together and they, from a synergistic point of view, were able to make sure that we went to the moon, or supposedly went to the moon. We won't argue over that, but what I'm saying, Lisa, there is so much more. And one more thing. Dr. Stephen Greer talks about a lot of systems that they've already got in place. On the Gaia.com website, I don't actually subscribe to it, but I've seen a number of their videos, and they're talking this one up, that there is technologies available for the human race, and because it's been sanitized by the mainstream media and censored by omission, people are not actually understanding that we have got everything here for us today.
We have everything we need.
Thank you.
But there is a real issue, and that is that a lot of those big companies will buy up these new initiatives.
Yes.
And then they sit on them.
Yes.
And they're suppressed. So you've got a huge issue there. And the other thing is, a lot of scientific things are developed through military throughout the world. A lot of developments have come through war, probably right from starting with the wheel, you know.
First aid too.
Yeah. So if you look at it from that perspective, there's technology. I mean, there's interesting and really seriously dangerous microwave technology going on in the world at the moment. Now, instead of for good use, I'm thinking that this is coming in for bad use, because there's dubious reasons for 5G. And then, of course, you have HAARP technology, which has been subsumed by microwave weather wars. I mean, imagine, why would a scientist put their time and energy into something that's going to kill masses of people? What sort of person is out there like that? Anyway, the fact of the matter is that we have a lot of technology that's not generally accepted by the general public or talked about in the mainstream media that is there. and it's doing things that are not okay. I'm going to be really controversial here, but there was a huge cyclone in Mozambique, in Africa, and it was followed by another major tropical storm, and it completely flooded a whole area that had just coincidentally had oil discovered there. The people had to leave. They had to leave their homes. They got out, and they went elsewhere. So who was able to move in but the oil companies? Now, is this the military creating or exacerbating a storm that might exist?
Deep state?
Something like that. Well, I don't know about them, but the military, as I said before, supporting the oil industry.
That could be deep state.
Yeah. So if you've got that happening, it's really serious. I mean, people have got to start talking about this so that the families of those people who are doing this stuff start saying, this is wrong. Because I really personally believe that storm, because they don't normally have huge cyclones there,
no,
was artificial.
Yes.
And it's not the only one.
Yes, yes. Well, you see, this is where it becomes so overwhelming for so many people. One of the biggest problems at the moment, or if I call it a problem, is just survival. Mums and dads are working long hours for a diminishing return on what they're getting to a degree. And we just constantly have news that debilitates people. It desensitizes us. It makes us feel nearly worthless. And so I think, too, that I would like to know who sets the agenda on the news that comes out in all the TV stations and radio stations all the time. They call Radio New Zealand the Ark, don't they? Because it's one of a few places where there's still a good variety of news. But elsewhere, it's pretty much what you call homogenized food.
Well, I mean, how many news owners are there in the world? About six, and nearly most of our media is owned by those big companies. But the first place I go when I wake up in the morning is Radio New Zealand. And I go on their website and I look at their headlines. And I don't always read all the articles, but I feel I know what's going on just by reading the headlines. And then I'll go into maybe one or two articles that I think are important. So, yes, I mean, you could do this by listening to the radio all day if you're driving around a lot. But Radio New Zealand is a good source of news, in my opinion.
I've heard a lot of good comments on it. I don't myself listen to it because I haven't got the time. And in many cases, I'm away from that situation. But yeah, so to access information is really, really important. And we've got to be innovative, and I don't want people to go into the dark web and go down rabbit holes. You have to be a very resilient type of human being to want to feed off that. And there's so much, shall we say, there's so many lies and there's so many traps. And I think it's very important to discuss with your friends where you're going, so that your friends can act as anchors and offer supportive suggestions too, so that you don't actually get into trouble. Because I know of a number of people who have recently, young girls, I know of a young 16-year-old, she had too much time on the web, and next minute she was very, very depressed. She was listening to the wrong music, and she was reading very, very dark stuff. And it's very, very seductive how it's used. And so we've got to make sure that we're alongside our children all the time, and we're seeing what our children are accessing. I'm speaking with fellow host Lisa Eyre, and we're just talking randomly through subject matter that we feel that we need to be able to mention to listeners, because mainstream media in many ways does not really want to look behind the scenes. And so we're just letting you know that there are things going on, and we need you to be alert and research it all. But keep your inner candle burning strongly.
Well, I think that there's a whole lot of stuff on the internet that's put out by, dare I say it, white red-necked males from the US that create these stories that actually sound very convincing. And they probably got about 60% truth in there, but there's that other 40% that we really don't know, and you really can't definitely say is true And where did this come from anyway? And is it some Republican from the South who's a supporter of Q, or Q itself, you know, the QAnon that out there on the US? I mean, I'm really quite cynical about that, because people will say, well, you know, it was, I saw it, you should listen to this guy and you should listen to that guy. And I think, no, I don't want to listen to those guys, thank you very much. I'll read a little bit about it. And there I move, in a woman's way, I move to my intuition, because really that's what we're left with. If we want to look at the news, we just have to respond in an intuitive way, because there's so many facts on one side saying one thing and one side on the other thing, and where is the truth?
Well, that's right. Now, with the whole QAnon phenomena, basically it says there that Brennan, the CIA, and Comey, FBI, and they're going all the way down the line that all these people are going to be in jail soon, including Obama, including Hillary Clinton, including Bill Clinton, and that's the narrative coming from that side. So if these people end up in jail, then we'll have to say, well, gosh, what's going on here? Because, I mean, Q has also... Just quickly, he said, oh, Rothschilds. He points the finger at Rothschilds as the biggest problem. And he has also said, let's leave Israel to last. And we don't know what that all means at all.
Well, the interesting thing I read this morning was, you know, the Epstein story, which seems to have died.
Yeah, I'll talk to that.
Okay, well, there's somebody, I forget the name of them, somebody Maxwell, and they're saying that Jeffrey Epstein was actually an Israeli agent.
Mossad.
Yes, and trying to trap people and blackmail them to make sure that they toe the line that is what Israel wants. And so I thought that was a very interesting story, and I'd like to find out more about it.
Yes, well, the narrative is going, there's this certain group saying, oh, yes, well, with Dear Greta getting the headlines now, what it is that it's taking 5G and the Epstein saga off the main headlines. And this is, I find, interesting, because with Jeffrey Epstein, is another way of looking at Epstein is looking at Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, the movie. Well, I think everyone needs to see it. When I first saw it, boy, did I sit up in bed. I was in bed watching it. And then I realized that all the rich East Coast families in America were being blackmailed to keep quiet because they were being invited to go to these gigantic, luxurious, eloquent parties. But once they got inside the door or the gate, then they were Mickey Finned with drugs, and then they were videoed, and all sorts of ceremony came in. And then the interesting thing is, when Kubrick brought that movie out, he mysteriously died afterwards anyway.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, but there's one other thing, and I want to really drop this in. In the 21st of December 2017, Donald J. Trump signed an executive order called EO-13818, and it's called Blocking the Property of Persons Involved in Serious Human Rights Abuse or Corruption. And the reading of that was to go out after all the pedophiles globally. And Epstein was one of the first tip of the iceberg to go. And so by what's happening now is by taking Epstein out of the news and taking 5G out of the news and putting Dear Greta up on the news, it's subverted these two very important issues of 5G, because 5G could be in New Zealand. This time next year, we could have 5G right across the whole country.
No, no, it's going to take 3 years.
You think so?
Well, that's what Vodafone have said.
Well, we'll see, because once, you never know.
Vodafone have said that they've got 1,400 towers coming in. 400 of those will be 4G that's upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And they said over 3 years that it will be a rollout over the next 3 years. And it won't be a major 5G to start with. They're using a smaller...
4.5G?
No, it's a 3 point something. I forget now. I haven't got it written down here. But anyway, they're going to use that to start with, and I presume that's, presuming that's why they wait to do all the streetlights, because to have full 5G, you have to have a little blip on the top of each streetlight, and that will take a while. So I think I'm going to get my 2 cents in worth in here over that. I really think that the only way to deal to this is for people to actually block the putting up of these structures, because that's what's happened in Coromandel, and they couldn't put the tower up. Basically, the telecommunications companies have now become almost the biggest government lobby in the world now.
Corporations, not companies. Corporate.
Yeah. So the feeling I have is we're not going to be able to move anything by going to our government in New Zealand. We have to do grassroots things out there. And I can tell you of one thing that's going to be happening in Auckland on October the 23rd, and that is there's going to be a placard protest outside the Vodafone building at Smales Farm on the North Shore.
Yes.
And that will be gather at 11:30, ready for a 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock protest, so that all the people coming in and out of Vodafone will see that the placards and the warnings...
So many people.
Yes, so we're hitting the people that are working there. Because, do you know, I know somebody who works there, and they've been told that, oh, 5G is just an upgrade to 4G, and it's not, it's different. So they've been told a lie, the people working there. So, yeah, so lots of people are going to be over there with banners and this, that and the other on Wednesday the 23rd of October at lunchtime. So I hope lots of people will join us, and I think the parking isn't great, but there's fantastic public transport there. Yeah,
buses will go to Smales Farm.
Mm.
So just take your placards and walk there and 5G them out of the game. Interesting.
But we've got to get out there and do these sorts of things, and hopefully the media will cover us.
Yes, well, this is one way to really do it. We've got to be in their face.
And innovative.
We've got to be creative. This is what we are. We are creative human beings. And it's important for everybody to realise that their inner candle can produce something quite unique if they just realise that we've got this capacity and capability.
Well, you see, there's other things that we've really got to work on, and this is saving the insects. And so we've got to keep going on glyphosate, keep making a noise about glyphosate, but not just glyphosate, because that's actually a herbicide, so it's killing the things that the insects eat, and the birds as well. But we also have... how do you say it? Neonicotinoids?
Yeah,
is that how you say it?
Yeah, neonicotinoids.
Neonicotinoids. And those sorts of things, that they coat the seeds with them, and the plants come up poisonous to insects. And, of course, remember those days when we used to drive and your windscreen would be covered with insects, which was a jolly nuisance. But it meant they were around. Those days when you'd not close the curtains and your windows would be covered with moths. Doesn't happen. If you get one moth, you're really lucky.
I know.
This is in Titirangi where I live.
My wardrobe. No moths in my wardrobe anymore.
Oh, really?
Well, because there's no moths floating around.
Yes, yes.
And so what's happened is you can see that there has been a major decline. But the good thing is, at the moment, when I look, I can still hear up to 31 different birds where I work. There are still plenty of birds. Though I must admit the seagulls numbers are crashing. That's for another day. So we have to actually really be aware that the insects have to be taken care of, and 5G is definitely detrimental to their life.
Yes. And of course we've been told anyway, regardless of looking at radio frequencies and microwave frequencies, regardless of looking at that, we've been told that insects may well crash in the next 100 years, and if that happens, humanity's gone. So we've really got to do something about that.
Well, this is true, but you see, some of the movies, some of the video and news events that I've seen, the young kids are saying, we've only got until 2030. Oh, gosh, the world's going to end. I think I have seen some things there that have been really, really, we've basically terrorized these children. And I think we need to have an in-breath on this one. So many children are now traumatized by the fact that their future is on the line. It's been ramped up to such a degree. And I mean, when I started off this radio program, Lisa, I actually was going to call it the radio program to offset and stop global warming. That's what I started off with. Well, I've recalibrated my statements a little more because there are so many other influences that are linked to global warming. We're not talking now anything about the fact that the oceans are going acidic. That's gone off.
Well, that's all part of it.
Yes, I know, but we're not talking about that. All I have to do is say, okay, heating biosphere or atmosphere and oceans going acidic, and it's shifted the migration pattern of birds hugely, and also the city heat islands. All these are integrated into this, but the picture is so huge.
Well, it is absolutely massive, but then, of course, we could all have demise much quicker with nuclear war. Because, you know, it wasn't too far away from Pakistan and India the other day.
You bet.
And, of course, America is always waving red rags at bulls. So I grew up with that very, very insecure situation around the Cuban crisis when I was age 12. And I was fully aware of what was going on in the news and the threat of nuclear war and how we would be terribly burned. And we had a cupboard full of stuff for treating burns because we lived near 25 miles out of London. So we could have got a nuclear bomb on London. So I think that that was far more traumatizing than the actual climate change issue, which still has a chance of being slowed a little bit, that we can do some things, particularly if we look at things, change farming practices. That's a huge thing in my, you know, carbon sequestration. If we stop using all this phosphorus all over the land, you know, and we shouldn't be using phosphorus anyway because
superphosphate. Well, it's cyanide in it. No, it's cadmium.
But it's coming from Western Sahara, and the Western Saharans are being ripped off. It's a whole humanitarian issue around that, but we haven't got much time to go there, have we?
Well, we've packed a lot of information in there, because just quickly, I was involved on the peripheries of a crowd called Beyond War, and they were out of Palo Alto in California, and they used to have these awards. This is way back in from 1983 to 1990. And they were very strong on what I would call the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. And they had what you call citizen diplomacy. And I was involved in this too. I was in Russia, in Moscow, where I met the American ambassador to the Soviet Union, not once but twice in a week, and discussed nuclear-free New Zealand and a nuclear-free planet. But the Beyond War people, they gave out a special award, and they had the president of Mexico, Miguel de la Madrid, and they had President Raul Alfonso of Argentina. They had also Olaf Palme of Sweden, and he was a very, very important man. They had Julius Nyerere of Tanzania, and they also had Andreas Papandreou of Greece, and finally, Rajiv Gandhi of India. And he gave a very good speech in this particular video, because they had all these leaders, should we say, from the non-aligned world, who were saying, let's really commit to getting rid of nuclear weapons. Well, have you heard what leader is there saying today, let's get rid of nuclear weapons? Let's see what sort of strategy we can get and put in place. There's no one really standing out at all.
Well, no, there's 179 countries have signed a declaration to get rid of nuclear war, but of course it's the big countries that have got nuclear weapons that are the ones that don't want to give them up. And then you've got ones like Israel who don't admit to having them, and
that's,
you know,
right,
damn well they've got them.
Yes.
So the IAEA have to be sent into North Korea and Iran, but oh no, we won't bother sending them to Israel, will we?
Well, who, again, causes that? Who supports that nobody goes in there?
Well, here is this
Uncle Sam.
Yes, but this suggestion, who is controlling Uncle Sam?
Yes.
That is the big question.
Yes, that's right, folks. And this is very important. Now, we've got 5 more minutes, Lisa, and I want to say thank you very much, because I think we've covered a lot of information that people have to really start, one, researching for themselves, but coming together in cells or groups of friends and working locally. And this is how the 5G network is working at the moment. They're starting to pop up all over the place, and the Warkworth one's doing well at present.
And West Auckland.
And West Auckland. Well, you and Laurie Ross are cranking it there.
Well, actually, it's mostly Laurie.
Good Laurie. Good on Laurie. I actually first met her way back in the early 1980s, and she was in a little booth down on the Auckland waterfront, and we were pushing nuclear-free New Zealand, and there were so many other little initiatives happening that were holistic and were very much pulling the threads of community together. So she and I have known each other for such a long time. And so what it is that we need to be able to go that extra effort. We have to. If we love our kids, if we really love our children, it's time for us to organise, because I maintain that 5G are pulling the threads of New Zealand together.
Well, you see, Tim, I started this group on Facebook called Survival Movement NZ because I firmly believe that New Zealand has a chance of surviving even if the rest of the world goes down. And so if you're interested, look on Facebook for Survival Movement NZ and join us, because as we start to do things, and we're still building, because I've got so much to do and there's 5G stuff and all the things, but as we're building as a group, this Survival Movement NZ, I think that we can actually create something here, and this needs individuals, groups, local government, national government, and yes, civil defence. So with civil defence, that will look at the short term issues, if we have a Category 5 cyclone hit Auckland, for example, and then we can all do stuff around making sure that we've all got food and resilience. We must be resilient, we must be food secure in New Zealand. And there are things that we can do to put in place to sort that one out.
Very much so. All the thing to go for is start with farmers' markets in your local village, your local town, and your local city. That's where you can network. Because
yes.
In Greece recently, I found out that Socrates used to go to the so-called markets in Greece. And that's where he agitated, but that's where he sold his message. That's where he talked about change. And I think markets are a good place to start, because everyone comes, they've got to buy food for the week. And here from Whangarei and Coromandel and Nelson and Golden Bay and Lyttelton, and there are many, many other groups that I've interviewed people on in relationship to farmers' markets and pulling the strings of community together, because that's where the change is going to happen. It's going to happen on the grassroots, but I doubt it very much if the change is going to happen at the high government level. We want them to change. It's like they're not into 5G, are they?
Oh, well, I wouldn't expect them to change on 5G, but I do think that they actually are looking at doing things to make New Zealand more resilient. I do think so. So I think we have hope there.
Yes, because we've got a particular government in there that's a little bit more wanting to be able to make New Zealand more cohesive.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, yes, while we've got this government, we're okay.
That's right. I think things are going to be better off there. Mm. Yes, Lisa, well, I mean, I want to say thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Tim. We've had a good conversation.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Two interviewers chatting away.
Yeah, that's right. And no matter what, we feel that our inner candle's doing quite well, no matter how sort of overworked we are and how busy we are, and we can still laugh.
We can indeed.
We can still laugh.
Because we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and I think it's important not to forget that.
That's right. This is it. Soul counts. And if you recognize that we are souls animating our divine vehicle, then we're on our way to a better world.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Tim.
That was Lisa Eyre, my fellow host. And if you want to support Lisa's intent, please go to Survival Movement NZ on Facebook. There you'll be able to participate with good people looking towards the future and meet new friends. The possibilities are endless. We all have to commit. I invite you to a Stop 5G Placard Protest. That's at Vodafone headquarters at 74 Taharoto Road in Takapuna, Auckland. Wednesday, October the 23rd from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Buses at Smales Farm. 74 Taharoto Road, Takapuna, October 23rd, 11:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. Bring placards stopping 5G. Be creative with your placards. The challenge of the moment for crew on our planet, Spaceship Earth, is the need to become immediately conscious and remember one's assignment and station in this life. With the ship's air conditioning now running erratically, switching from hot and cold, as well as being polluted with aerosol particulates, with the same happening to the ship's problematic refrigeration system and the rapid melting and refreezing of ice in unpredictable ways, the imperative is we have to get serious, especially as our crew responsibilities are to take care of future generations of younger crew. With the exponential increase in the ship's crew complement, now at 7.7 billion personnel, the ship's organic inbuilt natural systems do not have the required time to rebalance and readjust to the rapid growth of crew quarters, etc., as well as to the incessant use and abuse of all the various onboard resources. Coupled to this, the ship has over 30,000 nuclear-tipped grenades primed to be lobbed into other sections and quarters of the ship. These severely add to the problems on board, but essentially the ship is leaderless, because we have never heard of a leader calling out to factor all the lives of the children into the ship's future. So, what do we do in the meantime? We need to still our being and meditate and pray as well and clear ourselves of thoughts that do not serve us. Also, clean up our diet by eating more greens and fruit and especially drink pure water and find other conscious crew who are aware of the challenges and commit to work alongside them and organically expand our sphere of influence with them at a very localized level. When we work together for the benefit of the whole, a new energy makes itself known, and providence lines up. This is also when synchronicity and serendipity makes itself known, and another quality of joy comes into our lives. The time is now, and the children deserve a far better future. Kia kaha and aroha. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.7 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University, in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future, we are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say Kia Kaha and Haere Uraha.